Now, friends, we're still in this very remarkable second chapter of 2 Peter, a chapter that speaks of the apostasy that is coming on the church. And the apostasy is brought in by false teachers, and both the teachers and those that follow them will be judged. And I'm going to put in today at verse 5, and he's giving us now in the section where we are three examples of the fact that God has in the past judged those that are false and phony and pseudo-religious people, and that he intends to do it in the future. And the basis is given here. We saw first that it was angels, for if God spared not the angels that sinned. We don't know too much about that. We are told in Revelation that one of the most remarkable statements that is there is in chapter 12, verse 7, and it says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and that's Satan, and the dragon fought and his angels. And back in the past, apparently, there was a rebellion against God, led by a creature that we know today as Satan or the devil. He has many names. He's the great deceiver. He is a liar from the beginning. And this creature rebelled against God, and there followed him a great company of angels. Some of them, we discover, are with him today, because Revelation says that those that are with him are to be cast down. Now, we also find that in the past, as we're told here, that they have been incarcerated waiting for the time of judgment. The indictment is made against them. In fact, God has declared them guilty, and they're waiting for the judgment to come. They're reserved under judgment. And that speaks of the devil. Then the world is before us in the story of Noah. And verse 5 says, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, when it speaks here of Noah, the eighth person, it means Noah with seven others. He's the eighth. There were seven others that were saved. And that means Noah, his three sons, their wives, and Noah's wife, so that we have eight that came through the flood. And in other words, God was judging the world in that day. He was a preacher, Noah was, a preacher of righteousness. Now, what does that mean? That means just simply this, that in a day when there was rebellion against God, in a day when the world had become lawless, and we're told every thought and imagination of man's heart were evil continually, God moved in a judgment of the flood and brought an end to that pre-Noadic world, that world that had become, with the exception of one man and his family, had become totally a godless world. And you could well see that it wouldn't be long until the entire world would be in such a condition, God would have to judge it, and there would be salvation for no one after that. Actually, the judgment had in mind the future that was coming. And it reveals, actually, God's care and respect for the human life that he had created. Now, right after the flood, in order to curtail lawlessness and crime, God gave to man this edict. He says, he that sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. This nonsense today of them using the argument against capital punishment and saying, it says, thou shalt not murder. Well, thou shalt not murder has reference to an individual who harbors hatred in his heart and expressing his own fleshly feelings in anger or hatred, he slays someone else, another human being. Well, friends, that's murder. But God has given to governments the authority to execute any man that takes another man's life. And why? Will you listen to me for just a moment? You show respect for human life not by letting a criminal and a murderer off who destroys another human being, but you show respect and value for human life when you take the life of a murderer who fails to respect another human being, but he despises a human being by killing him for some selfish or sinful reason. And today, the pendulum of the clock is over on the side of the criminal today. The sympathy goes to him. Oh, he's a human being. We don't want to take his life. But he took somebody else's life. And as a result, because we've had so many soft-hearted and soft-headed judges in this land today, and we're so far from God and God's Word that lawlessness became so bad in California that the majority of the people have voted back capital punishment, and it's almost impossible to enforce it. Why? Because of godless leaders that we have today. They know not God. They know not God's plan and program, and they think if you be lenient on a criminal, and as a result, instead of putting criminals in prison, they are running the streets today, and the honest citizens are in prison in their own home. I was in a home the other day. It was back east. They had a half a dozen locks on one door because they had been broken into, and they have a lovely home there. There are half a dozen locks there. Why? Because of the fact that criminals and thieves and murderers are abroad today. Now, you don't show respect for human life until they are locked up, my friends. That's when the dignity is shown. Now, that was the days of Noah, and it's that kind of a crowd that God destroyed and judged. You see, our nation has more than three strikes against us today. Not only, as I've said before, a nation of drunkards, alcoholics, but now murderers and thieves. Why, it's alarming. Why? Well, we came through a period, I came up under this period when I was in college. You didn't teach morals because that's not the purpose. You see, after all, if you just educate little Willie, he's sort of like, you know, a cross between a piece of Dresden china and a hothouse orchid. And you don't want to apply the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge, because if you do, you might ruin his little umph, and he won't be able to express himself like a little flower. Well, little Will is expressing himself today, and he's a thief, he's a murderer, he's homosexual, and my friends, may I say to you, out of the human heart, the Lord Jesus said, proceed the ugliest, nastiest things that are imaginable. We need discipline. The unsaved world must have discipline from a government. If not, then that nation will be destroyed. That's number two. Now, number three, and the turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah illustrates the flesh. And the flesh, he's going to talk about it in the remainder of this chapter, it's an ugly thing. You and I have that old nature. And it is a nature that when it expresses itself, in that which is ugly, and that which is wicked, that which is nasty. And today, you can't make me believe that all of this that was turned up down at Houston of this group of homosexuals, and now we find that there is an organization of them throughout the country today. You can't make me believe, friends, that by passing a law and making this lawful today, that somehow or another you've added dignity to it. God has said that when they go down that low, God gives them up. Now, that's the Word of God. and you can take it or leave it, but that's what the Word of God says today. And the very fact that we have been lenient and smile on that type of thing has caused it to increase and grow within our land. A couple wrote me the other day, and it's the saddest letter, and it's one of the types of letters I never read on radio. And they told me about they had found out their son had gone to college, came back a homosexual. How tragic, how terrible it was, and what a heartbreak it was to this couple.